Karma Bank. Two podcasters in Bologna. That's Bologna, not baloney, as you say in America.
We're here. This is our second day in Bologna, and we had another exquisite meal last night, a real gut-busting pasta fazzoli cavalcade of delicious Italian cuisine.
Yes, we're on our way to looking like genuine Americans.
Big, fat, overgrown, ugly Americans. That's us. Where are we going tomorrow?
Tomorrow we're going to an even more decadent, deadly place, and that's called Parma.
And food, you mean?
Yeah. Well, we could become ghoulishly obese.
Well, let's see what's happening in the Financial Times, shall we?
Okay.
Today, Thursday.
Okay, you tell me.
Yeah, tell you what's going on. What's today, the 29th of December? Well, it looks like the ex-Enron accountant copped a plea.
Ooh.
So they're working up the daisy chain of bad guys.
You mean they're getting closer to George Bush's friends? All of George Bush's friends and co-workers and, like, closest advisors are just going down, aren't they?
Yeah, they're going down all right. They're getting closer to Bobby Fasto. What's his name? Bob Fasto? Robert Fasto? Dick Fasto?
Honey, they're not getting closer to him. He's already in jail. He's got a 10-year sentence.
Oh, really?
Andrew Fasto. He was the former chief financial officer, I believe. And now they're getting closer to Ken Lay and Jeff Skilling.
Oh, yeah, Jeff Skilling. Yeah, Jeff Skilling. That's right. He's one of the masterminds of the whole 700 offshore accounts where they hid all the debt.
He's the one that went crazy in New York last year. And Ken Lay is the one that is George Bush's best buddy.
That's right. Kenny Boy.
Kenny Boy.
Who, so they're working up toward Kenny Boy.
Yeah.
And, of course, those guys were on the advisory committee with Cheney when Cheney got into the presidency. I mean the vice presidency in the office there and started to put together America's energy policies in ways that favor the energy companies. You know, yesterday we were talking about this whole idea of no taxation without representation. And it's a good idea because only the corporate interests are represented in government now. The community or the social or the individual interests, the citizen interests, are no longer represented in Washington.
That's called taxation without representation.
And that's what spells, usually, it's a precursor to some kind of insurrection of some type. That's usually what happens throughout history.
That's what I learned in, I guess, second grade history class.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what else is happening in the Financial Times? Wall Street braces for stock option confusion. Well, it's not very confusing, actually. Confusing. It's, the regulators want the companies to list options as an expense because it's a salary. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it should be listed as an expense. And they also want the corporations to start listing their liabilities of the pension accounts to be fully disclosed. And also they want to fully disclose the exit deals that they have for their CEOs so that investors can see what's actually going on in the company. It's amazing how opaque these American companies are. They call it free enterprise, but it's not transparent enterprise. It's opaque enterprise. They only show a little bit of thigh, but they don't show you the full enchilada, so to speak, when it comes to American business. And now the regulators are starting to come down on these companies and saying, you've got to show us actually your actual liabilities. The offshore accounts, the pension liabilities, and the actual cost price, the pricing of your employee stock options. The question is, can American companies make money honestly? Because up until now, since World War II, they've made most of their money dishonestly. They're dishonest crooks.
Well,
that's the bottom line. And now, as the regulators say, you've got to be honest. The rest of the market's saying, wait a minute, if America's going to start being honest, then we've got to get rid of the U.S. dollar, because the U.S. dollar is completely dishonest as well.
Well, what I saw that headline as, Wall Street braced for stock option confusion, I saw that as Wall Street looking at George Bush and saying, this guy, who's a complete loser, managed to win by appealing to the religious fundamentalist intelligent design crowd.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're going to start pitching this Wall Street theft as intelligent design. It's too complex to understand. So it's God.
Well, that was Enron's defense, you know.
It's God's will.
It's God's will because it's too complex. Enron's accounting is so complex, it's obviously God's will.
Yeah.
God wanted Enron to make that money, and they wanted $80 billion to evaporate from shareholder accounts and from employee accounts, and they wanted the women who used to work at Enron to pose nude in Playboy as the women of Enron to prostitute themselves to make enough money to feed their children. That's what God wanted. It's intelligent design because it's too complex.
Mm-hmm.
That was also the defense, as I recall, going back to Credit Suisse versus Boston and the trial of the telecoms analyst.
Frank Quattrini.
He was out there at about the same time Jack, what's his name, was being in the dock for...
Jack Grubman.
Yeah, that's it.
And Quattrini
is a banker, and Jack Grubman's an analyst. But Quattrini was saying basically that he would get off because the layers of complexity that the investment banks used to hide their theft was so great that no jury could figure it out, because their juries really don't even understand the basics of markets. How can they understand high scale, high crimes and misdemeanors as practiced by Frank Quattrini? I think that ultimately what happened to that trial? It was a hung jury or something?
The first one, but then he did go down, didn't he?
I think eventually they caught up with him.
Yeah, they found some New Yorkers who were wise enough.
They finally found a few people who could figure out that this guy is basically a crook.
Yeah.
Well, they're finding more and more people to be on juries that can figure out that these executives at the major banks and the corporations and politicians who are all part of this self-serving, symbiotic daisy chain are crooks. C-R-O-O-K-S, crooks. Listen, speaking of people who are not crooks, Lawrence Lessig, who's a really well-respected man in the legal profession, who's out there beating the drum for digital rights.
Mm-hmm.
He had a big letter today in the Financial Times talking about what he calls the read-only internet versus the write-only internet. Because the corporations read-only.
Yeah, they want read-only so that you can't change at all
That's
document.
Right.
And he's advocating a read-write so you could read and use it.
Yeah. Yeah, because the thing is that digital space gives copyright holders more of an ability to impose draconian firewalls around this community property. Because all this is community property. The idea of a copyright monopoly is for a limited time.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Thomas Jefferson was against it. He didn't think intellectual property should be protected in this way. But they compromised and they gave copyright holders back there in the 1776 era
mm-hmm.
something like 28 years protection.
Mm-hmm.
But this has been bastardized over the years to be what is effectively perpetual copyright. Every time copyright's up to be put into the public domain, to be returned to where it came.
Mm-hmm.
All this stuff comes from the public domain.
Mm-hmm.
It has a temporary monopoly. Then it returns to the public domain from where it came from.
Yeah.
That's what the heritage of 65,000 years of human history. You want the enrichment of human history to be available to humans, not just to be served up at a price by private corporations. But anyway, he's talking about read-only versus write-only. Read-only is you only have consumer. And the example he uses is that before technology, you could buy a book, and then you could read the book, and you could give it to your, mother, your daughter, your sister, and say, here, I just read a really good book.
Right.
Or you could go to the library, and then there's lots of books people can take out for free.
Yeah.
But now, in the internet age, every click of cyberspace makes effectively a copy, and then that copy has legislation attached to it. And it's shutting down the innovation of the internet. It's shutting down culture in a big way.
Well, it's also the other interesting analogy he gives is that we used to go to the movies. We would meet as a community, go to the movies, and then afterward meet at the pub and talk about the film and say, wow, that film sucked. You know what? They should have had Tom Cruise rescue the woman rather than throw her over the cliff. But now that our communal space is in internet chat rooms and people are talking like this and re-engineering the story
mm-hmm.
to each other,
mm-hmm.
that's considered now copyright infringement.
Right.
Which it means you're not allowed to be a community. They don't want community, and this is proven time and time again in this neoliberal consumer society sort of setup.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want you to rely on each other.
That's right. They don't want empathy. They don't want love. They don't want community. They want hate, fear, and paranoia.
Yeah.
That's where the money is.
Yeah.
Hate, fear, and paranoia is more money in those three than love, empathy, and community.
Yep.
And it's just economics. It's not about being a bleeding heart liberal. It's about you've got to have both to be in a functioning society. You've got to have greedy people, but you've also got to have regulations in place to allow for altruism to flourish as well. There's got to be a dynamic. Otherwise, you end up with what we're getting right now in the United States, which is neo-fascism and neo-feudalism. And he uses the word war, that there's a war going on. So, you know, that's a very aggressive word to be using in these neo-feudal times. You know, a lot of people could misinterpret that as meaning that they would get active in that space. Now, what else is going on? How much time do we have left on this program?
We've got 2 minutes left remaining on Karma Bank Radio's 28th of December podcast. Oh, actually, I think it's the 29th of December.
Okay, well, we covered that at the beginning of the show, honey. I don't know if you caught that.
No, I was.
Where were you on that one?
You know, I'm always sleeping in the beginning.
Is that right?
You're
wide awake to me. We should talk about one other thing in the Financial Times here today, which is that there's a tradition in Japan, I had no idea, but people who are in debt at the end of the year flee. And they have services, people that come to your house and clean out your house in 15 to 30 minutes and put all your belongings in a warehouse on the edge of town, and then you get it later when you relocate at an undisclosed location. Because you have to protect yourself against loan sharks who are looking for you because you owe them money.
This is called the midnight run.
Yeah. So the loan sharking industry has been huge in Japan, and there's a whole industry around loan sharking. Now, this is what I think Americans have to look forward to in the next few years, as more and more of them fall into bankruptcy thanks to the credit card companies that love bankruptcy because they get to charge more because they're loan sharks, they're crooks, they're mafia. And people, at the end of the year, do this runner, the midnight run, and hire firms to help them relocate in the consumer protection program. Basically what it boils down to. It's a consumer protection program for consumers that need to escape the creditors at Visa and MasterCard. It's already big in Japan. This is right on page of the Financial Times.
The editorial page.
Page 11. You read all about it. This is the future of America, the consumer protection loan protection programs.
Midnight runner. And this is one more thing, speaking of Asia, that I want to tell our audience.
You misstated the time left then.
No, this 20 seconds.
Okay.
2006 is the year of the dog. And in China, they're saying that the year of the dog 2006 is going to be a year of very, extremely bad luck for those born under the sign of the dog.
Who's been born under the year of the dog?
George Bush.
Oh, you're kidding.
And in China, in order to companies to protect themselves,
yeah,
have for the last few years been refusing to hire anybody that was born under the year of the dog, knowing that this year it's going to be very bad luck.
Oh my God.
All those Americans who rehired George Bush last year, they're in for a big, bad year. Anyway, that's it from Karma Bank Radio.
See you tomorrow.
I'm Stacy.
This
He's Max.
Bye.